This pod blast from
is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com. The only place to be.
Something bad is about to happen to me. I don't know what, but I feel it coming. Might be so sad, might leave my nose running. I just hope she don't wanna leave me. Don't you give me up, please. Don't give up on me. I belong with you, only you, baby. Only my girl, only you, baby. Only you, darling, only you, baby. Only you, my girl, only you, baby. Only you, darling, only you. Something bad is about to happen to me. Why I feel this way, I don't know, maybe. I think of her so much, it drives me crazy. I just don't want her to leave me. Don't you give me up, please. Don't give up on me.
Well, we're back. Once again, it's the dead, Timothy Robert Buckner, myself, and of course I'm joined as always by Quentin Moody. Quentin, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing really well. This is the last three nights of the G1, so I'm definitely in a good mood and very excited, but in the midst of all this G1 hype, there's a match that happened very recently that might be flying under the radar that could be potentially kind of a... Well, in the words of some of my Australian friends, kind of life-changing and what's going on over there.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. Me and you have talked a little bit about the Australian scene here and there. Got some more people, more voices out there. We got Scorp Corp over at Voices of Wrestling talking about it, which is nice to have somebody else in on the action. The Australian scene is gaining traction in general. Jonah Rock showing up in Bola here at the end of the month, or I guess the beginning of next month. So... a possibly big sign of things to come. We've got Will Ospreay taking on Robbie Eagles in PWA in, I'd say, a pretty good match. A match that I think definitely shows that... I mean, Robbie Eagles is no slouch, obviously, but shows that a guy who... I don't know if he'd be considered the top performer in Australia right now, or... You know, he's one of the, like, upper mid-card,
I think from what I've seen people say that are definitely more in tune with the Australian scene or have seen more of these guys, that Robbie is up there with the likes of Adam Brooks and Dowie James.
Yeah, like, he's not, I would say, well, he's probably one of the better workers in Australia, but he's... really easily able to keep up with Ospreay, who's considered one of the top workers in the world by a lot of people here. He goes blow for blow with him, keeping up with the big high spots, having essentially a match that you could see happening in New Japan, PWG, Evolve, possibly. I mean, this match looked like it wouldn't fit out of place on any other company, right? Am I right? It could definitely even be like a main event level match.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that was one of the biggest things I took away from it, is that you could have this match pretty much anywhere in the world, and people will talk about it. And that's the kind of thing you need in a burgeoning scene like Australia and like New Zealand, is that it's cool to have a uniqueness to your style, but in this time period where wrestling everywhere is so similar, it works to have something that you feel like you can just pluck in any major promotion and you feel like it will get over. And for a lot of people, this was their first time seeing Robbie Eagles, and being able to match Ospreay with the agility, with the crazy moves, doing some great power stuff. I thought he exuded some personality that might get underplayed because this match is so crazy spot heavy. But I think this is something that, you could just show it to a random person and they would think it's like a main event of any indie show.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Ospreay even showed a lot here with aggressiveness and his striking. One place in particular that I thought was just really nasty looking is he hits Robbie Eagles with a kind of a hooking back kick out of nowhere, kind of like a super kick to the back of the head, and then just kind of throws a sidearm hammer fist to the back of the neck in a really just aggressive and gritty, and it doesn't look, you know, overproduced. It doesn't look fake pro wrestling. I can only hit you when you know that I'm looking. It looks like he's just throwing strikes at the guy haphazard, just trying to take him down. And then from there, he grabs and locks in the Hands Across America, or the cattle mutilation. And it just, it really felt, it's such a weird thing, like ending up in that submission hold, but it felt Danielson-esque, just how aggressive and violent his striking was to then lead into that submission. And that's something that you don't see from Ospreay, and him bringing that here against Robbie Eagles, you know, a smaller opponent for him compared to Ospreay, but a guy that then is made to look every bit his equal, even if he does end up, Ospreay, I mean, I guess, say it now, Ospreay goes over, winning the title for this company, which is a big deal for them to have Ospreay, you know, at least committed for some more dates, at least committed to the company in some way to be the champion. I guess I'll mention a little bit of Eagles background for people who don't know. He's a brother of Ryan Eagles, who happens to be the husband of Madison Eagles, which may be, for a lot of people who are only aware of the American scene, one of the few Australian people that they know of because of her work, I think, in Shine and probably Shimmer.
Yeah, in Shimmer.
Yeah, in Shimmer primarily, being one of the elder stateswomen of the wrestling scene. Great aggressive striker in her own right, and brought that Aussie flair to the scene for a long time. So that's his relation, I guess you'd say, brother-in-law of her. And yeah, I guess overall, what did you think? What do you think about what I'm saying there? Did Ospreay's aggressiveness in this match kind of help to make Robbie look like an even bigger deal?
Yeah, because Eagles definitely brought the aggression right back. He got some really crisp-looking kicks. And one thing that I'll say about Ospreay that I've been saying this all year, and it's that Ospreay really has toned down, and that he's found ways to, like, still look breathtaking, but do it in avenues that he hadn't really explored before. Or when he did explore them before, they didn't look as great. Do you remember when Ospreay started doing that little strike flurry with the, like, slaps and kicks, and it just didn't look that great?
Yeah, it was the kind of the AJ Styles strike exchange that he started out doing early on when he started in New Japan. Seems to be a thing that a lot of foreigners like to pick up in New Japan. And yeah, when he was first doing it, it looked like if he was doing it on a boxing, like a gym bag, not a gym bag.
Like a heavy bag.
Yeah, like he's just tapping it. He's just showing that he could hit, but not, he wasn't really throwing it with any purpose behind it in the beginning.
Yeah, now I think his striking has gotten worlds better. And I don't know if that's due to being in Japan or how much he's actually training in Japan. I don't know if that's due to like Paul Robinson and if he's learning more things from him when it comes to kickboxing. But Ospreay's striking is ridiculously good now, I think. His kicks have great form. They look very precise. I think he lays into them really strongly, which is something that if you think about Will Ospreay from 2-3 years ago, you would have never expected that. And one thing that I've been saying a lot this year about Ospreay is that if you watch his matches, yeah, there's still some crazy shit that happens. I'm not saying that this match isn't crazy because it's full of nutty spots and head drops and things that are just out of this world that only Ospreay can do. But he had this reputation of being a high flyer. And at this point, it's getting kind of hard to keep putting him into conversation as just high flyer when I see that he's grown in so many different ways. We mentioned him doing the submissions and how smooth he looked doing that. And we talk about how his striking is so much better. He did the spinning roundhouse kick, the black mass, as Aleister Black calls it now. And that looked fantastic. So I think Ospreay is just becoming such a well-rounded wrestler in this. And I think the Katsuyori Shibata match from New Beginning in Osaka are like the two best examples of Ospreay just having so much growth in 2017.
Oh, yeah. And we talked about it a little bit on the last attack show, which, for frame of reference, I mean, Ospreay did that attack show where we talked about his match with Pete Dunne. And then it appears like he just went, you know, in late July, he went to New Zealand after that. And then was in Australia up until just recently, in August. So it seems like he's been over there for a few weeks in that area. And And coming out of that, we talked about him having the passion and also him being kind of a self-trained backyarder type. So that lack of finesse, that lack of crispness in a lot of what he did, especially his striking, the stuff that he overlooked in his game, is not surprising when you think about that background that he had. He does have technical training. We've seen before that he can keep up. But he also had, some sloppy tendencies that I think have really shorn up, and especially I think in New Japan he realized that there's an attention to detail that he's not going to be able to get away with, so he's really turned up his game to be at that top level talent.
What were you gonna say then?
Oh no, I was gonna say, well, you talk about, you know, he can be compared to Aleister Black when it comes to striking and all this stuff, which sounds crazy because I think Aleister Black is one of the best strikers in wrestling.
I wasn't saying that.
I wasn't saying you were saying he was in that level, but I am saying, he can start to be in a conversation outside of just, he's a great flyer.
The whole best technical wrestler in the world moniker that they give Zack Sabre Jr., in Zach's own words, if you remember the cockpit show from RevPro earlier this year in January, he cussed his promo after the match against RJ Singh, and he's talking about, I'm the best wrestler in the world. I'm not just the best technical wrestler in the world. And I feel like that's what Will Ospreay is doing right now. He can go and do the best of the Super Juniors and have this big-time feud against Ricochet. But at the same time, this dude is improving his game when it comes to his submission work, when it comes to his striking, when it comes to how he can pace a match. He's not blowing all of his spots early on. He's adding different things to his arsenal that he wasn't doing before. So I think he's in a position now where he's proving, I'm not just the best flyer, I'm the best wrestler in the world. And I think he's doing it really in a region where he has guys like Adam Brooks and Robbie Eagles, and a Dowie James if that ever happens, where he can really start to show that he can do it with anyone, not just the big name guys.
Right, and that was going to be, I guess, my next point here, as we do talk about what is he going to do in this scene in Australia and New Zealand. What is it going to mean for him and for the scene? And I think about, just like as they say, the best way to learn how to do something is to teach it. And for Ospreay to be considered such a high-level star, I think he's considered one of the, he's going to be one of the top guys instantly in the Australian scene if he does end up spending a lot of time there. So he's going to be looked up to and counted on to kind of educate and help bring other guys along. And I think that's going to really help his understanding of the complete every side of the game, which might be what he really needed for that next step. And instead of just being in the UK where he's competing with so many others and so many other schools and such a heightened perception that you kind of get lost in it, if he's the guy of the Australian scene, I really think that everything with the weight of the world on his shoulders, I really think that's his chance to show that he can flourish. It is kind of interesting to see what that's going to mean, not just for Australia wrestling, but for Ospreay as a wrestler.
I remember when the news of Ospreay beating Eagles first came out, and people were tweeting results who were live at the show, and they were quoting what Ospreay was saying in the promo. And I remember that some people were skeptical of Ospreay, thinking that he was just talking shit, just getting the crowd hyped up. And when the full video came out with the match and the post-match promo, I don't know about you, but I felt like Ospreay meant every single word he said.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot more. I felt a little bit more kind of maybe likely that it's going to happen. But I still in some ways, I'll believe it when I see it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm not sure on the move, but I do think he genuinely cares and wants to work in Australia. And I do think that Ospreay, for as much as people have talked about him as being a dumb kid, I think being able to understand that he's no longer needed in England. They don't need him. England is fine. There are so many guys there. There's so many promotions there that are flourishing, doing amazing business, that Ospreay doesn't need to be there and take up spots. And that's a problem that guys Jimmy Havoc and Mark Haskins are facing right now, is that with this big flourishing UK scene, while these guys have been super popular, even as recently as Mark Haskins, who was like the top babyface in England last year, the scene has grown and moved so fast that these guys are almost becoming relics of what was becoming the foundation of the UK scene. And Ospreay, who was such an integral part in helping the UK scene grow and expand, him having, I guess, just the ability to mature and understand that, look, this is my home. I've lived here. I helped raise this place up. I was the first English-born Best of Super Juniors winner, but they don't need me here. They're doing fine. I'm going to go to this place that has all this talent, and I'm going to make a difference here. And I'm not sure if you saw the Instagram videos he put up of him training the guys, guys and girls. I believe it might have been at SPW, and he really looked like he was having a great time showing those students, and he had this long message saying that this is like the best group of trainees he's ever worked with. So I do think he sees a legitimate future in that area.
Yeah, I think he does. I'd like to know for sure what his motives are 100%, because I worry there was something in his speech that made me worry that it was almost a slightly bitter thing. Like, the UK scene doesn't have a place for me. Like, he feels like he's being forced out. And I hope, I hope that he doesn't see it that way, and that he does see it as an opportunity to help them grow.
I don't know. Like, if Ospreay wanted to get booked, and I don't know how much the guy charges, like, I feel like promotions would still be falling over themselves to book Will Ospreay. I mean, the guy still had, like, he had the Ring of Honor stuff, which is the reason that I'm assuming why Ring of Honor and New Japan, really, why he had to leave Progress the way he did, with the rumors of Progress going on the WWE Network, which I just think at this point isn't happening. But I still feel like if Ospreay wanted it, he'd still be getting booked on all these shows. He wouldn't just be coming in for one-offs at Fight Club Pro and Attack. He would be trying to work other places. He wouldn't just be working Lucha Forever. So I'm not sure if he's not getting chances because the promoters don't want him, or if he just didn't have, or if he just realized himself that he didn't need to be there anymore, which I guess is just the answer just a question that we'll never have an answer to.
Right. Yeah. That's the one thing that I wonder about, because I just like to know for sure. I mean, you know, just before, if I was making speculations on what's going to happen, I'd like to know for sure. But just based on everything that's going on, it is very interesting. It's something definitely to check out. But yeah, the match itself, I'd definitely say anyone go and watch it. It's on YouTube for free. And, I mean, I'm just looking forward to what this is going to mean for the UK scene. Or not the UK scene, but the Australian scene. This is tough with the Australian scene.
I mean, the UK scene too. Like, I mean, yeah, the UK scene too, honestly. Like, you got to think about it. Like, for how much shit, you know, guys like Ospreay and Skrull, or even a Noam Dar or Zack Sabre Jr. might get, like, these were big guys when it came to that scene. And, like, to not have Ospreay on a consistent basis, or maybe not even having him anymore, to not have Marty on a consistent basis, not have Zach on a consistent basis, to have Noam in the WWE, it's like, these things are big deals. So for us that were following Europe for a few years now, to have these guys just not there anymore and moving on, it just, like, feels weird. You know what I mean?
Sure. Like, stuff is moving. Plus, not even just that, but there's the back and forth. I mean, guys who are going to get inspired and trained by Ospreay are going to go and now integrate into the UK scene and then be the next top guys in the UK scene. So it does have ramifications all around.
Oh, and something I want to mention is, like, even if Ospreay never wound up moving to Australia, this is something that I know for a fact does mean a lot to Australians. We have a friend named Liam who writes for Wrestling With Words, does stuff for Wrestling With Games too, and he's Australian. And from him, he's like, this is life changing for someone that lives in Australia to have someone who is talking up this scene so much and is talking about actually wanting to live there and train guys and help bring this place up. that gives him more hope and inspiration to follow his dream to becoming a professional wrestler. And for an area that just doesn't have that much precedent when it comes to the scene itself being popular, because everyone leaves Australia, you know, or New Zealand. If you want to go all the way back to like the Bushwhackers or the Sheep Herders, they were really big, but they left. And people like Billy Kay and Peyton Royce and Buddy Murphy and Madison Eagles, like, they've all done really well for themselves, but they left. So as someone that's still in Australia, to have someone that is from the UK, has already been such a big part in making that scene what it is, for him to come there and pretty much say, this is what I want to do now, that gives you a lot of hope.
Yeah, and it definitely makes a big difference. It's very interesting. It's Will Ospreay, the new hope, right? That's the tagline for the future of the Australian scene, but it is really cool. I guess probably hitting that time limit, so anything else you want to put out there before we go?
Nope, that's it. I believe we'll be doing a couple more of these soon. I'm not sure.
Should be, hopefully. That's the plan.
We should probably get a schedule going.
Yeah, exactly, right? All right, well, I guess talk to everybody later.